Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Ben Malcolmson, and he is a man with a remarkable story, and I am eager for you to hear it. Ben, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be with you.
Now, some folks would hear your story and only pick on certain parts and say, well, you're a champion. You're a success. What could you possibly know about suffering? But if anybody hears your whole story, they know that you've overcome a lot by God's grace. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, well, it takes me back. I was in fifth grade playing football for my Pop Warner team there in my local town, and I was just out trying to figure out what I was going to play, and I was out in baseball, basketball, every sport. And that fifth grade year, I was playing football. I wanted to quit about the first day in. It was miserable for me. I did not enjoy it at all. I was very undersized and didn't enjoy the physical aspect of football. So I was trying to quit. My dad wouldn't let me quit until the season ended. So then right when the season ended, I promptly quit and said I was never going to play football again because it just wasn't fun to me.
I just want people to know that. I want people to know that. Some people think, how could anybody not love playing football? And actually,
well,
there are some folks who don't enjoy
it.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun to watch other people get hurt.
Exactly.
Now, things changed for you in a major way, not in accordance with your plan, but an idea you had while you were a senior at USC. You were writing for the Daily Student newspaper, and you decided... I think this is just a comical idea, but I love it. And obviously God did too. You decided you wanted to cover the football team by trying out, right?
Yeah, so I figured, well, what better way to get an up-close and personal look at the USC football team? And at the time, they were the number one team in the country. This was the mid-2000s. And,
yeah.
I figured, why not get as close as I can get by going through the tryout and really bringing people on the inside? And it'll be funny, too, because as we just talked about, I hadn't played football since fifth grade. I was skinny newspaper reporter, and this was the top team in the country. So it was just all around going to be a total joke, and I could write a really funny story off of it.
Yeah. Well, I love that idea. That sounds like something one of my friends would do. I admire your pluck. You're thinking, you're not going to make the team. You know you're not going to make the team, but it'll be fun to try out, right?
Yeah, there was no intention of me trying to make the team at all. It was just really just trying to write an article. And going through the tryout, it was really cool because there I was running a 40-yard dash for the first time in my life and running routes as a wide receiver and going through agility drills and just going through tryouts to the 41 other guys were really trying tooth and nail. They were fighting to make this team. And here I was the only one there not trying to make the team. I was the only one there writing an article for the school newspaper.
Now, Pete Carroll was the coach. They had the top football team in the nation. And when you talked with Pete Carroll about what you wanted to do, were you honest with him about the fact that this was in order to write a story?
Yeah, I was totally honest. He had gotten to know me over the previous couple of years just from being a sports reporter and just being around the football team at the games and practices and everything, writing my articles. And so when I went and asked him if I could write this story, he kind of laughed at me and said, it won't be very interesting, but go for it. So I figured that might be a pretty good sign that it could be pretty interesting.
Yeah, and how did you learn that you had made the team?
Well, that was the crazy thing. So I go home after the tryout, and I start working on that article. And then 2 days later, after the tryout, I get a phone call saying I made the team. And it was the most shocking phone call I've ever gotten in my life because it just, it wasn't even a thought on my mind that it could be possible. I mean, the only reason I was out there was just to write the article. And so here I was, I get this phone call, and my life was about to take a total turn because there I was all of a sudden on the number one football team in the country. And I figured, okay, this has to be a prank. Someone's prank calling me, or maybe Coach Carroll's pranking me.
That's what I would think.
Yeah, it was real. It's crazy.
So did your friends kind of flip out when they found out?
Oh, yeah. There was a really cool response, and the media attention obviously was pretty high, and just really exciting because it was such a crazy story, and here we are still talking about it 10 years later, and it's just so cool just how unique it is, and just how my life story kind of took a turn in that moment, and there were a bunch of students that really got behind it, and they started a campaign, Get Ben In. They wanted to see me get into a game because the odds of me getting into a game were pretty slim.
Yeah.
I mean, I was the lowest guy on the bench, and they started a campaign. They made shirts, posters, started chants in the student section. They wanted to see me get into a game. So it was pretty cool, just the support that got behind me.
That's great. Well, at what point did you start to think that maybe God was up to something in all this?
Yeah, it was almost from the first moment I found out I was on the team, when I see my name on the list just to confirm that I was actually on the team, that, wow, this has got to be something that God is doing, because he wouldn't put me on that team just to play football, that he's got a deep, huge reason for me being on that team. And so it was almost that first moment I just remember having this sense that he had called me to that team for a reason and a purpose, and I couldn't wait to see what it was.
Now, obviously, then, you already had a very genuine relationship with the Lord. Tell us a little bit about how you really came to trust in Christ.
Yeah, I grew up going to church. I grew up in Dallas, Texas, and was part of the Bible Belt, and grew up going to church, and every week went to Sunday school and church, and it was great. And I had so many seeds that were planted in my heart and my soul because of that, and I'm so grateful for all the people that poured into my life as I was growing up. But for me, I knew a lot about God in that time, and it was an academic knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have a personal relationship with God until I got to college and really was around people who had surrendered their life to Jesus and had given their life to him and had allowed him to live through them. And so experiencing that and really seeing that firsthand, especially in that formative stage of life in college, that's when I really got to know God personally. And
praise
it turned
God.
From an academic knowledge about God to knowing God personally and intimately. And I'm so forever grateful for the guys that I was put beside in college that really showed me that road.
Praise the Lord. You know, so many young people have the opposite experience. They get kind of an academic knowledge of God, not really knowing him personally, as you've just spoken of. They go off to college, and the people they're surrounded by pull them in the opposite direction, and they follow right after and end up abandoning that childhood faith that had never really taken root. It was like the seed on hard ground that was taken away. They abandon those beliefs that had never really transformed their lives because it was, as you said, just academic, not really a trust relationship. I'm so grateful that your experience in your college years was opposite.
Amen. Amen. It's truly amazing how powerful community is and how powerful it is when we surround ourselves with people that are pointing us in the right direction.
Amen. So going to college can be a positive experience if you're in the right college.
Yeah, and you surround yourself with the right people, that's for sure.
Exactly. You can go to a Christian school and surround yourself with non-Christians. You can go to a secular university and surround yourself with Christians. But who you surround yourself with is going to make a world of difference in how you're going to live. The Bible says bad company corrupts good character. And I am grateful that God, even before you had trusted him, was working on your behalf.
Amen.
Now, the countdown to the first practice with the Trojans football team. You had gone to the locker, you'd seen your name, you'd gotten the playbook, but when you are supposed to go out there and practice, what was that like? What was going through your mind? How did your teammates treat you?
Oh, man, I was just so eager to take that first hit because I'd watched football for years and years, and you see how violent the collisions are, and you hear the pads slamming against each other, but you don't really know what it feels like. Because, I mean, football in fifth grade, the 1 year I played, it was not anything close to what it's like in college. So I was just eager to see if I was going to survive, you know, to be able to go out there and take a hit and get up and walk and survive to live another day. So I was eagerly anticipating what that was going to feel like, and my teammates, they were great. It was definitely funny at first, because here I was, the guy that was covering them for the newspaper, all of a sudden suiting up alongside of them for practice. So it was definitely quite the awkward transition there at the beginning, but they definitely took me in, and Coach Carroll does an incredible job of creating a family environment of just brotherhood and inclusion. So it was a great transition for me eventually.
And your teammates were willing to provide you with that first hit, weren't they?
they were very happy to provide me with that first hit.
And a second. And a third.
Oh, many, many more to come. it was definitely quite the experience.
Folks, we're talking with Ben Malcolmson. He's got a wonderful new book. It's called Walk On, and it's his story of God's gracious work in his life. Now, in your book, Ben, you talk about, in a very vivid way, what it's like getting hit by those monstrous teammates. You said you secretly celebrated after each hit, and I think for reasons you've just described, this was something that you had wondered how you were going to hold up, and you held up for a while. But how did dislocating your shoulder affect you?
Yeah, that was hard. So I held up for a couple weeks, maybe a month or so, and then about a month into spring practice, I was out blocking a cornerback on a play and got my arm caught in his pad, just kind of a freak injury, and mm-hmm. dislocated my shoulder and had to get reconstructive surgery almost immediately. And it was very challenging, because here I was starting to believe this dream and believe this new life that I was living and mm-hmm. believe that God had me there for a purpose, and all of a sudden it gets taken from me. And I was out focusing on rehab there for the next several months. And
yeah.
The doctors originally said I was going to be out for 9 months. The recovery time was just so long, and I was going to miss that whole season. And mm-hmm. I was a senior already, so it was really my only shot of playing. And for some divine reason, I mean, just miraculous healing, God brought me back in 4.5 months, half the time the doctor said I could get back. And there I was, after 4.5 months of rehab and recovery, I was back playing football, suiting up for the practice and suiting up on game day. So it was just an incredible turnaround and a miraculous recovery.
Praise God. Now, during that rehab from the shoulder injury, you were hiding a secret. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, I actually officially got cut from the team when I got hurt, because an injured football player doesn't have much use on a football team, especially an injured walk-on. So I was actually cut from the team, and it was devastating, and I was so ashamed and so embarrassed that I got cut that I didn't really tell anyone, and I was so deceitful looking back, and it was even more shame looking back that I was so deceitful and mm-hmm. so embarrassed about it. So it's something I wish I could go back and do all over again, but we definitely learned from our mistakes, and thankfully God's grace covers our mistakes, and really his redemption is incredible as Amen. The story goes on.
Amen. Now, there were two specific ways that you reached out to all your USC football teammates. What was the response from them?
Yeah, so I just knowing that I was there for a purpose, I was pressing into that and trying to figure out what it was going to be, and I was so excited for it, because I just knew that God had called me there for a reason, and I got an idea that I need to start a Bible study for the team, and so I got a room ready, I got a lesson ready, I made flyers and passed them out in every teammate's locker, and I was just so excited, because this was my purpose, this was my reason of being on that team, and mm-hmm. the time comes for our first Bible study, and no one showed up. And I was obviously discouraged and doubting and questioning what is my purpose in being here. And then a couple of weeks later, I get an idea that I need to start a prayer group for the team. So I'll pass out flyers, get a room ready, and we'll pray together before every game. And the time comes for our first prayer meeting, and again, no one shows up. So I'm twice as discouraged, twice as defeated, and questioning even more. Like, God, what is my purpose in being here? I just don't get it. So it was... it was very hard and very discouraging, because here I was thinking I was there for a reason and for a purpose from God, but I just kept failing and just kept finding just defeat after defeat, and it was very challenging.
I want folks to hear that, because I think a lot of people are under the very mistaken impression that if you love the Lord and seek to honor Him and minister to others, that you're just going to be blessed. You're going to be a famous celebrity pastor on TV with a jet to fly across the country. And it's just, you know, that's the way it works if you're really serving God. And you can tell us, no, that is not necessarily the way it works. In fact, Jesus talked about taking up our cross and following Him. And He wasn't talking about a piece of jewelry or something to hang from your rearview mirror. He was talking about an opportunity to die. And if a person really loves the Lord and really seeks to serve Him and minister to other people, it'll cost you your life. And so I appreciate so much, Ben, your honesty about the fact that not only did you experience great disappointment, but that it really hurt down inside. I mean, it wasn't like you were like, oh, well, who cares? You cared. You did
what it hurt big time.
Yeah, you did what you believed you were supposed to do, and as far as visible fruit at the time, wasn't any.
Yeah, there was zero, and it's so true that you bring up this point. I mean, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, that just because we're following Jesus, just because we give Him our lives, doesn't mean that we're immune from struggles, from hardships. But the beautiful thing is that even amidst the troubles and the hardships, that He's with us, and that He's always carrying us, and He's walking with us through everything that we go through. And that's far greater than getting any material reward that we can get on earth.
Amen. Your amazing journey says a lot about the God you follow.
Amen. He's an amazing God.
He is. And He keeps His promises.
That's without a doubt, and that's why the beautiful thing about this story is that it just keeps going on, and He's so faithful. I put some Bibles in players' lockers. I really felt prompted to share the word, and I had read in Isaiah 55 that if His word goes out, it does not come back empty.
Amen.
And I knew that God He's always faithful to His promises, and so I'm gonna put His promise out there, and He's gonna be faithful to it. And so I got 100 Bibles. I placed one in every teammate's locker, and I was so excited to see the fruition of this, because I had failed to find my purpose so far, so maybe this was it. This had to be it. And the time comes, I place one in every guy's locker at midnight, in the middle of the night. I just didn't want anyone to know that it was me. And I come into the locker room a couple days later, our first day of Rose Bowl week. We were playing in the Rose Bowl that year. Just the last week we were together on the team, and I walk into the locker room that morning fully expecting just the total reward. You know, see the harvest just bear fruit. And I walk in, and the Bibles are shredded, just pages ripped up all over the floor. You could barely even see the carpet. It was just shredded Bibles everywhere, and I was devastated. I was so crushed, and it was so hard for me, because I had poured my heart and soul into trying to find my purpose, and I had tried the Bible study, that failed. I tried the prayer group, that failed. I tried to be a good teammate, that failed, and here I am, putting Bibles into my teammates' lockers, taking a big risk and going out on a limb, and that failed once again. So I just felt like a total failure. I felt like everything I did to try to find my purpose was a complete and utter failure. And so we ended up going through that Rose Bowl week, and a few days after the Rose Bowl game, I get a phone call saying Mario, one of my teammates, he was our kicker on the team, had tragically passed away in the middle of the night. And this was kind of just more grief on top of the disappointment, discouragement. Yeah. It was so crushing and so hard. And so that was just a really hard time for me, dealing with the discouragement of failing to find my purpose, and then now dealing with the grief of a tragic death of one of my closest friends, 21 years old, had mysteriously died in the middle of the night. And it was so, so tragic. And so that time was really hard for me, but thankfully I got to stay on at USC. I started working for Coach Carroll there, handling his media stuff, and just developed an incredible relationship with him, so that when he took the job with the Seahawks in 2010, he asked me to come up with him. And it's just been an incredible journey. And the story of trying to find purpose was really the the completion of it was only found out after I did take that job with the Seahawks years later.
Yeah. And God knew all along what it was.
Oh, man. He is so faithful, and his ways are higher than our ways.
Amen.
His timing is better than our timing. And man, I move up to Seattle and take the job with Coach Carroll with the Seahawks, and I was just trying to find what I was going to get involved in. I didn't really know anyone in Seattle, and I come across this group called Young Life, and it's mm-hmm. a high school mentorship program, faith-based, mm-hmm. and I start volunteering with this group, and I go to the first meeting, the informational meeting, and a former teammate of mine walks in to the same meeting, and here we are in this small little suburb outside of Seattle. I hadn't seen this teammate. His name was Taylor. He was our punter on the team, and I mean, I hadn't seen him in 4 years, really since Mario's funeral 4 years earlier. And it was just one of those shocking moments, like, what the heck are you doing here? And we kind of remove ourselves from the meeting and start catching up. And he starts telling me just an incredible story of God's faithfulness. And he starts telling me that his life had totally turned around when he found out that Mario died. Mm-hmm. And I was just so eager to hear, because Mario's death was just so tragic and so much grief for me, so I couldn't wait to find out what he was referring to. And he told me, he's telling me that, do you remember the last week we were on the team together, that there were Bibles in all of our lockers? And I mean, I hadn't thought about those Bibles in years. I mean, it symbolized defeat and discouragement. Those Bibles that I had placed in 100 guys' lockers that were ripped up and thrown in the trash and all that. I mean, it was just so heartbreaking for me to even think about that experience. And so I kind of played dumb, and I was like, yeah, I kind of remember those. I don't know. And so Taylor goes on to tell me that he grew up in a Christian home, and he saw a Bible in his locker, and he was kind of over it at that point in college, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. we were talking about earlier,
yep.
that a lot of people go off to college and they go their own way and they kind of walk away from the faith. And Taylor was one of those guys at the moment, and had kind of lived his own life up to that point. And so he saw a Bible in his locker and was just kind of, I didn't really know what it meant, but he just kind of threw it in the back of his locker, didn't really want to think about it because mm-hmm. he was living his own life at that point. And so he's gearing up to go to practice that morning, thinking that he was the last one to leave the locker room. And hears a voice in the back corner of the locker room going, what is this? And so he was confused because he thought he was the last one to leave the locker room. And he looks back, and there's Mario, our kicker, sitting in the locker, thumbing through the Bible going, what is this? And so Taylor and Mario, they were best friends. They were the punter and the kicker. And Taylor, standing at the door to go out to the practice field, screams across the locker room going, Mario, are you an idiot? Have you never seen a Bible before? And Mario's like, no, what am I supposed to do with this? And so for some reason, Taylor sets down his pads and his helmet there at the door and walks back and sits down in the locker next to Mario's. And for 45 minutes, takes him through the Bible and shares the gospel with him. Every word written read are the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Savior of the world, the one who came to die to make you right with God, to forgive you of your sins. And they missed half a practice that day. And I mean, keep in mind, Taylor hasn't gone to church in years.
Yeah.
He hasn't been walking with God in years. But all those seeds that were planted in Taylor's life when he was growing up come out bearing fruit in those moments. And God just starts speaking through Taylor in those moments to really impact Mario. And Taylor said for the rest of that week leading up to that game, Mario couldn't put the Bible down. Every spare moment he had, he was reading the Bible. And every spare moment he wasn't reading the Bible, he was asking Taylor questions. Tell me more about God. Tell me more about Jesus. And just days before the game, he had just an encounter with God, and he turned his life over to God. And then a few days after that, he mysteriously dies. And Taylor hears this. He gets the same phone call I did, that yeah. Mario had passed away. And in that moment, Taylor saw everything come into clear focus, that
yes.
that God is on the throne, that God is in control, that God loves us so much that he would do all that to save one person's life just before he was going to pass away.
Amen.
And God is so faithful and so good. And there I am, 4 years after the fact, finally seeing the fruition of my purpose and seeing that God was faithful, that
yes.
he was at work all along.
And his word does not return void.
Amen.
Folks, the book is Walk On. The author is the man who's lived it. His name is Ben Malcolmson, and I recommend it to you. Ben, thanks so much for coming on the broadcast with us today.
Thank you so much, Jim. It was an honor.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.